The COVID rate in USD 49 schools is low enough to keep the schools open. Hayes Post reporter Christina Janney speaks with Superintendent Ron Wilson about that and more on this episode of the Post Podcast.
Good morning. This is Christina Janney with the Eagle Radio News Desk. And we are talking this morning with Superintendent of USD 489, Ron Wilson. Good morning, Ron. We wanted to talk a little bit about the school board meeting last night, and you talked to the board, just refreshing them a little bit about the COVID-19 gating requirements. Apparently, they've had a lot of questions from the public about what those requirements are and whether the school district is going to remain in person or go to remote learning.
You bet. And that was one of the reasons I wanted to visit with the board, just to kind of maybe clarify some of those questions that are getting asked, because I think there's, of course, other districts that are have moved to remote learning. And of course, that naturally you start to wonder, is that going to happen, you know, to our schools? So I think the thing is, I think everyone has worked really hard throughout this first semester to really just take the measures to prevent the spread of COVID-19 in our schools. And, you know, although, you know, I don't really have a crystal ball as to what, you know, might happen going forward, we're just hoping that we can stay on site and keep our kids, you know, in school as long as possible. But of course, we do have gating criteria that we are following, and should that gating criteria, the numbers that we're looking at, indicate that we need to go to a different instructional delivery model, we definitely would. And so I reviewed with the board just a little bit, what that gating criteria looked like. And, I think the big thing is, if we have a classroom that has two or more students who test positive, that classroom would go remote for 14 days. And we have had to do that a couple of times where we've had some positives inside our classrooms. Now, I would tell you those positives aren't from being spread inside. They are maybe were positive outside the school, but because we're just being that precaution, showing a lot of precaution with how we handle things, we're just making sure that it is definitely not something that's inside our classroom. We've also have some gating criteria that looks at, you know, percent of total positives, and as I indicated with the board the other night, is that when we get over 1% of our total population who are in that building who are testing positive, and that, for example, Hayes High had that situation last week where they got over 1%. Now, that was 11 cases, 11 positives in a building of 1,000. So we sent out notification and alerted everyone that, you know, our numbers have increased and there could be a possible move to going remote. Our numbers then fell back below 1%, so there was no reason to move to remote. Once again, if we go over the 1.5%, we would evaluate everything that to determine the risk of spread that going on, and we could go remote at 1.5%, and then at 2%, we definitely would be going remote for at least 5 days. So that's a little bit about the gating criteria. Just kind of wanted to review it with the board. I know they get questions. Wanted to get it out, to everyone that we are looking at our data and making decisions, the best we can. I think sometimes it's important that people understand that, you know, we view how we make these decisions is we're viewing these through a lot of different lenses. We're looking at our individual building gating numbers, but then again, we also have to look at, you know, our staff availability and how we're able to staff inside our school buildings, and as well as we are looking at community spread and community restrictions that are put in place. And then also, of course, we work closely with the Ellis County Advisory Task Force in helping us make those decisions about moving forward with all the things that come with COVID. So that was a little bit what I shared with the board, and I think it was. It is important that, we communicate what's going on and try to be open with everyone that what we're doing and how we're doing things.
You know, I think the board members had a couple of good questions last night. One was from Craig Pallister, and he asked if the district considers the community positivity rate over the last 7 days when they look at whether they need to be on site or remote.
Well, and that's kind of a two-sided answer. Yes, we do consider that because naturally, if we're having high community spread, that is affecting people in our schools just because of the nature of how COVID works. So whether it's through a quarantine period or in that would be through our staff availability. But as far as saying a number in our community is at this point, and that would move us to remote, no. So we do look at those numbers, but there is not a number that says when the community gets to this number, that would force us to go remote. So,
yes, I thought another interesting question was from Lori Hurdle, who's also a board member, and she asked what the plans were after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and that's a good question because there is some concern and some anxieties about what will happen as people gather together and I think we've one thing that we've definitely learned is that large gatherings really sometimes promote the spread of the virus, and so we definitely would consider if our numbers would indicate after coming back from the break that that things have exploded and it might push some of our building gating numbers up that we would go remote. But as far as having a plan today that after Thanksgiving we would be going remote, no. But we will definitely evaluate those. We're evaluating those every day and even several times a day to making sure that we know what's going on.
I thought another interesting statistic that you talked about last night was as of Monday, there were only 19 positive cases among students and staff out of 3,800. And so the spread is really not happening inside the school.
No, and that's the things that we've learned through this whole period of COVID, craziness. You know, we're seeing almost no spread of the virus inside our school buildings. And as well as we're also seeing no positive cases from students and staff who have been placed in quarantine due to being in close contacts in school. You know, and somehow we're continuing to be able to manage staff absences due to illness or quarantine through our substitute pool and just our dedicated school employees who are just helping cover when they can. But yeah, really, 19 is a number, and we have to understand that there are people that are positive. But if you look at that in terms of 3,800 possible, the number is very minimal. And so that's the one thing we've really learned is that our health protocols that we've put in place have been very effective, and that's the wearing of face masks, lots of sanitizing of areas and desktops, and as well as hand washing and just the social distancing that we try to make as do as much as we can. So it's working.
The board also discussed last night some options for some revenue it's anticipating in December from the sale of Washington School. There were several options that Chris Hipp, the Assistant Superintendent of Business Services, discussed, including maybe paying down some debt or using that for other projects. Do you want to explain that a little bit to our listeners?
You bet. The district has sold the Washington School to some property developers, Overland Property Group, who are going to develop that into some low-income housing. The district is very fortunate in that Overland Property Group was willing to pay $500,000 for that building. And so we have some we have some options. And like I indicated with the board, boards don't usually get $500,000 to very often that they're that amount of money. That we have some things we want to look at. We're just looking at what is the best value to the district. Of course, if we pay down some of our debts, of course, with the sale of Washington, we purchased the early childhood complex over on East 13th, which was formerly the Oak Park Medical Complex. And, you know, we still have some debt on that. There's some definitely value in looking at paying down that debt and saving some interest. We've estimated it'd be somewhere in around the $130,000 range that the district would save. I would also pay off that lease, so 3 years earlier. But also at the same time, we talked about, you know, we have a lot of projects in the district that have, over the course of many, many years, been deferred, and this might be an opportunity to hopefully knock off a few more of those. These are conversations that we'll continue to have with the board as going forward. We didn't really get to a decision last night. It was just the beginning of the first of several discussions about what we can do and laying out a plan and trying to make things, you know, and I think in terms of just how we can give the best value to our district.
The district also received a gift last night from the USD 489 Foundation, $65,000 that they received from the Federal CARES Act. What is that money going to go for?
And we're just so fortunate in this district to have a foundation like the USD 489 Foundation, who really works towards providing us with some funding for special projects. They have dedicated that money to for some of our safe and secure entrances. They've been doing this for several years, have helped pay off some of those previously that have been done in the district. We still have a couple more that we're trying to finish up. These are just safe entrances to secure, you know, how people enter. And putting in some barriers so that should we ever, you know, have some unforeseen situation, we have a little more control over controlling the way people get into the building. So we're just so fortunate that the foundation does these kinds of things. They were not able to do their normal auction this year due to the COVID situation, but did receive some CARES funding because of they were not able to do the auction, and they are willing to pass that money on to us that they received. And so we're just very, very thankful and appreciative that we're going to be able to complete another secured entrance coming this summer. So really excited about that.
And which location will get that new secure entrance?
It looks like right now it'll probably be our O'Loughlin Elementary. We still haven't quite finalized that, but that would most likely probably be the secured entrance that we will take care of this summer.